Blog Talk Radio.
How is your Saturday going? That's my first and foremost question. I hope everyone's having an amazing Saturday night because I know I am. Xfinity race was amazing, but we're not talking about Xfinity tonight, people. We're not talking about NASCAR tonight. We are talking about NFL news, state of the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. Going to be covering the big changes that are occurring in San Francisco. I mean, we got the big Jimmy G contract that was just basically renewed the last couple of weeks. I mean, big payout to the big guy. I mean, I don't know what to say. That's a pretty good lump sum from a dude who started as a second string quarterback in New England. Beat a few good teams. Tom Brady comes back, destroys everyone as always, and then last minute during last season gets traded to San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco robbed everybody of an amazing quarterback. I mean, thankfully, he's not going to the Browns. Not going to get destroyed in the Browns' career, but he's legitimately in an amazing franchise, which he has the potential to go to the Super Bowl next year. I mean, I know it's too early to talk about Super Bowl, and the offseason just started. The draft hasn't even occurred. But reading into today's headline, into 49ers, which for me is kind of hard to talk about because I'm a huge Seattle fan. But with that said, they just re-signed their center, Daniel Kilgore, if that's how you say it. Dude had a stellar season last year. I mean, he is 6'3 and 308 pounds. I mean, the dude is a beast. So he's going to have huge support next season with just that dude alone. I mean, their offensive line's coming back. That's something to watch out for. San Francisco's definitely going to be the team to beat next year in the NFC West. And as a Seahawks fan, I'm very, very terrified because every year it's always been, okay, we got this in the bag. We can beat them. But this next season, I don't know. Like, if Seattle keeps going backwards, I don't know what I'm going to see or say about next season. But for real, though, I mean, Kilgore, I mean, that's been the biggest article ever since after the Jimmy G contract is basically he started his career high 16 games at center for the 49ers and was named the winner of the team's Bob McKittrick Award, which is basically like the team's MVP, which is given annually to the 49ers offensive lineman who best represents the courage, intensity, and sacrifice displayed by the longtime offensive line coach during his 21 years of service to the 49ers. So basically, the dude's 30 years old, still tearing it up in the league. He has 48 games, 29 starts. I mean, yeah, he has some injuries, but who doesn't anymore? But man, that right there is going to set the foundation for the 49ers and their stellar hot quarterback, Jimmy G, because as of right now, the dude's undefeated. I mean, you can say, well, it was in the season. That's not fair. That's hypothetical, but I mean, stats don't lie. They destroyed the Jaguars, which the Jaguars, you know, went deep in the playoffs. That doesn't say anything for next season. I don't know what will. They destroyed a lot of good teams towards the end of the season. I mean, beginning of the season was not for the 49ers. Losing, couldn't win. I mean, it looked like the Browns, but the NFC West version of them. But after they got Jimmy G, started him up, they haven't looked back since. So very excited to see how this franchise is going to do in a free agency because people are talking, saying that the 49ers is where a lot of people are going to want to go next season. And I don't blame them because they got a young coach, a young quarterback. Basically, they have a young team altogether. If you look at their roster, their team averaging an age of like 22 to a max of 30 years of age right now, minus, you know, a couple wide receivers. But honestly, they're going to be a red-hot team next year. So if you're a 49ers fan, you got something to look forward to. You got some excitement going in. I mean, you guys might actually be that playoff contender team. Honestly, I see them starting red-hot just as they left off last season. Only team I could really see giving them issues would be Seattle. If Seattle decides to play their game right, get some staff members, which they're getting, or if they decide to basically get some players that they need and everyone get off the injury reserve list, because last season, just injury plague. But we're not talking about them right now. That is until later in the show. But like I said, they're saying that the 49ers are going to be the next team that everyone wants to go to. I mean, I don't blame them. Like I said, the team's young. So all these draftees coming up are eyeing San Francisco. And I mean, if they had a choice, an opportunity, I could see them begging for San Francisco to draft them, because San Francisco just freed up a lot of cap space. So basically they have all the money in the world on their desk to sign any player they want. Like as of right now, a lot of free agents are coming on the market. Just a lot of free agency occurring. So I see San Francisco might snub some, you know, other players. I mean, will they get a backup quarterback for Jimmy G? That's already seasoned. I mean, a lot of shaking in the wind in Cincinnati country. Got rid of one of their quarterbacks. Macklemore, I believe is his name. I don't know. But I could see them actually taking him up for a second string quarterback. And after that, boom, quarterback line's already set. You got Jimmy G, him. And then what else are you going to take? I mean, you already got the starting team you need, and you already proved that you can beat teams with the players you already have on your roster. I mean, it's ridiculous. San Francisco is coming back, folks. I mean, it's already early in the offseason, but they are going to be the team to beat next year, believe it or not. Honestly, it's going to be Philly. My prediction is going to be Philly, San Francisco. Seattle is going to be on the verge of in and out, but that's going to be the top two teams in the NFL that everyone's going to be chasing after. I mean, yeah, New England's probably going to have some games won, but I honestly don't see next year Tom Brady being the undefeated dude as we normally know it. Honestly, I think the young quarterbacks of tomorrow are going to take over the league next year. So, if you want to discuss the topic, you can call the guest line at 215-383-5764, and we can discuss the 49ers and all the fun that they're having this offseason with these huge signings of their center and the Jimmy G and all that fun stuff. Because, for real, I'm going to pull up their schedule right now and see what we got going on here. So, this is last year's schedule. So, let's see. So, from September 10th, they were on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They were basically on a 9 losing streak, then won against the Giants, then lost against Seattle, of course, which was a close game. And then after that, they went on a couple, let's see, 6-game win streak. And after that, that's when their starting quarterback got hurt. I want to say was after December 10th. After that, they haven't looked back since, because looking at it, they were just tearing people up. I mean, they tore up the Jaguars. Let's see what that score. I mean, the Jaguars score is 44-33. Yeah, a little comeback, but the whole entire game, they were on top of them. Of course, the Cardinals beat them, but the Cardinals, they had a stellar defense last year. They ended up as the number one D before the playoffs started, so they really had much not going for them in Arizona. But like I said, San Francisco, if you're a fan, huge fan of them, you have nothing to worry about next year, because they're going to rob some dudes in the draft, because the one dude from Penn State, that running back, keep forgetting his name. Gosh, I wish I could remember his name, but he was in the contention for the Heisman, but they're projected to end up getting him during the draft. So if they end up landing him, it's game over for the league. That running game was going to be established. That line is going to be holding people down, and then Jimmy G is going to be chucking that ball like there's no tomorrow. So like I said, if you want to call in, 215-383-5764, and just punch in that host pin line, and we will discuss whatever topic you want falling in within the 49ers. So we're going to break to a song, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the state of the Seattle Seahawks.
Bye. All right.
We are back. Discuss now, moving on to the next subject of the Seattle Seahawks. Now, I'll tell you, last season, I just want to forget about that season. As a Seahawks fan, that was probably, it wasn't the worst season we've ever had. I mean, we did almost go into, the playoffs. Yeah, granted. But we were snubbed. Jacksonville beat us fair and square. But how we ended that game basically put a sour taste in my mouth of the fact that a fight broke out. Everyone got ejected almost off the team that we needed. And then next thing you know, we were just out of the playoffs, like within a flash of an eye. But reading into Thursday's article, no new article has been published. I mean, granted, it is off season. They did a coaches poll, not a coaches poll, but a draftees poll, which out and come in college players. They asked them a question set saying, which professional football coach, head coach that is, that you would be willing to play for. And of course, Bill Belichick's number one in Patriots. Granted, who doesn't want to go to a winning program? Bill does win. You got John Gruden, Raiders. I mean, back in the day, he was a winning head coach, but he's coming back, and people are seeing that he's going to bring back the Raider Nation. So he's number two. Number three, Sean Payton. Sean Payton, again, winning coach, always in the playoffs, never misses a beat, knows how to establish his players. And then you got Mike Tomlin, Steelers. So one is Bill Belichick, two is John Gruden, three is Sean Payton, and four is Mike Tomlin. Then where's Pete Carroll fall into this? Number five, you got it. Only half said that they didn't want to go due to the fact of the turmoil within the locker room. So, like I said all last season, there was always turmoil. You could tell on the field with how dudes were playing, with how dudes didn't want to really, associate with anything that Seattle was doing. I mean, yeah, a lot of star players were injured, but at some point, you got to free up that cap space, Pete. You got to free up that cap space, Pete Allen. I mean, come on. With that said, I don't really see Seattle doing anything next year because they got all their stars coming back. But at the same time, Kim Chancellor saying he does want to play, continue playing. But we hear that every season from him. And then when his contract was up last time, I remember, he sat out because they weren't going to pay him the amount he wanted. But that amount we're paying him now, he didn't really do much last year. He just sat on the bench right in that injury. I mean, like I said, last season was not for my team. I was just devastated and just lost in the sauce when it came to my Seattle Seahawks. I mean, this season was just a nightmare. But this offseason, not a lot of dudes are going to want to come to Seattle. I don't see them picking up any huge free agent names. Like I said, the 49ers are going to sweep all those dudes up. And if they do, that's going to put a world of hurt on Pete Carroll and the Seattle Seahawks next season. Because honestly, if it plays out the way it does for San Francisco, I could see them riding number one in the NFC for majority of the season with, honestly, my early projection for it would be San Francisco, St. Louis, and then you got Seattle and Arizona. They would be tied for third. That's my early projection. I mean, the draft hasn't even started yet. I'm making early projections. But it's like I said, anything can happen in the NFL. That's what makes it the NFL. It's wacky. It's crazy. So like I said earlier, if you want to call in, discuss anything within the 49ers, Seattle Seahawks topic, the phone line is 215-383-5764, and it is open, peeps. Call in. I got the chat open. You can come in, discuss whatever you want. I mean, anything on sports, keep it PG, all that fun stuff, and leave the politics at the door. So let's see. Let's check out the schedule. Season schedule. Pulling that up. Yeah, it was in. So like I said, they got the first L from the Packers, which that game was just devastating. 17-9. That game right there, I just knew the season was going to be long and hard. Because after that, they went to San Francisco, barely pulled out that win. And then they went to Titans, Tennessee, which they just got destroyed. So, like I said, last season was not for the Seattle Seahawks. It was just an embarrassment. Like, I thought Pete Carroll was going to be out the door, call it a day, leave the team in the shrubs, and then Russell Wilson was just going to pick up the pieces. But instead, he's coming back next season, and it's just going to be one heck of a season, I hope. I mean, honestly, San Francisco, with the way that they're doing the early signing of Jimmy G and their center, I mean, they're signing their whole entire offensive line back, it looks like. I'm looking at the headline again for Jimmy G's, destined franchise tag. Let's see how much are we talking about. Last season, he passed for 1,506 passing yards. That's pretty good for Jimmy G. Like I said, I like to see dudes do amazing things, especially him coming from the Patriots right in the second string bench for a minute. Now he's like going to be doing things in the NFL. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing the dude get a ring with the Niners. I mean, I'm not a fan, but I'd like to see something happen for that guy for the first. Let's see what we got here in this headline.
Nothing too exciting, honestly. So his stat, I mean, his record for an end of the season is 5-0. So like I said, the dude's undefeated as of we know it as of right now during the offseason. He's 5-0. So he's going to start the season next year 5-0. I mean, depending on how he starts, he's going to start red hot, I believe. I'm going to pick the dude up on my fantasy team. Doubt it. Don't recommend it, but I'm going to take him. He's going to go, honestly, I think 9-0 before he gets his first loss. And honestly, if he gets his first loss early in the season, San Francisco will still be in the hot seat to do some noise. So like I said, we want to see how the draft plays out and free agency, because anything can happen from here on out. But I honestly got a feeling there's going to be a shocking development within the free agency, because it could land a wide receiver. I mean, Crabtree's getting released by the Raiders, as I've been checking up on that. They're going to part ways with him, free up that cap space. So if he frees up, I honestly see the 49ers picking him up, because if the Niners got Crabtree, that's the speed that they're going to need on the outside. And honestly, with Jimmy G's arm, no one can stop that. Once you get Crabtree, that's it. So if the Niners can land Crabtree, game over for the NFC West when it comes to, you know, air attacks. But like I said, San Francisco and Seattle, that's not going to be a rival, because I honestly see San Francisco handing it to Seattle next season if they continue playing the way they've been playing this season. Because honestly, they're going to have to take a hard image look at themselves and realize what they're going to be next year. Because last time when we had Marshawn Lynch, we were beast mode, carrying the ball, destroying it, owning the field coverage, just laying it out there. Russell Wilson playing like a top-tier quarterback, which last year he was, but if you lead the team in rushing, there's an issue there. And poor guy had no offensive line. I mean, honestly. So you want to call in, discuss anything with NFL? Phone line 533-5764. Like I said, just hit that pin. Give me a call. Give me a shout. Get the chat up. We can discuss whatever you want tonight. It is a Saturday night, peeps. Don't leave it hanging, this podcast. So reading more into this article, Joe Fan's article with Jimmy G, basically John Lynch landed the franchise tag deal on this kid. He said, hey, you continue playing the way you've been playing with me, I'm going to make you the highest paid man. And they did. He laid out that contract and no hesitations asked. Jimmy G took that bad boy and went off running with it. So no rob there. Just the fact that I can't believe that Bill Belichick and the Patriots organization just handed the kid over like it was a birthday gift for the 49ers. So the kid's going to put everyone on notice next season. So hopefully San Francisco keeps doing what they're doing to prove me right. And when Seattle comes to play them, because this year they're going to go to Seattle, I just pray that somehow they just manage to pull us out. Because honestly, with Jimmy G at the helm, it's going to be a terrifying team to go up against. So we're going to go to break, play a tune, one or two here. And then when I come back, we're going to discuss the 2018 FIFA World Cup. So again, if you want to call in, the phone line is 215-383-5764.
I'm back.
I'm here. So we're moving on to the next phase of this show. We're going to discuss the World Cup. It's this year. Can you believe it? For all my soccer peeps, I mean, or football peeps, wherever you're at in the world. I'm excited. Even though the U.S. ain't in it, I'm definitely excited. I was doing some hard research today and couldn't wrap my head around it because on social media, I've been reading a lot of things of people saying, Brazil's going to do it. Brazil's going to take it all the way this year. They're going to take the group stage and they're just going to go on the round of 16 and just breeze through. But let me slow it down there for everyone. Looking back on their qual games, they weren't really that dominating. I mean, one that stuck out to me, see if I can find it, was the 2-0, 2-0, whatever you want to say, against Ecuador. Ecuador is not that good of a team, and they only put up 2 points. Yeah, they won, but still. That's not to be proud of if you're a Brazil fan, and also Bolivia. They ended up with a draw. So looking at that standing, I mean, they only finished first, which they took the points and all that fun stuff, but Uruguay was only like, I think, 9 points behind them. So honestly, they didn't run away with that group stage like everyone thought they would. I think, honestly, it's going to be a European team that wins it this year just due to the fact of the talent that they've taken within the national teams. So my top team that I'm going to go with is going to be Germany. I think they're going to repeat it. I honestly believe they have the highest chance of repeating the World Cup. So, I mean, I just couldn't wrap my head around believing that Brazil is going to breeze through the World Cup like everyone's saying, because, like, you see these videos, people saying, oh, they have all these star-studded players, and look at this video, and then all of a sudden I realize the videos of their warm-up and training camp. Of course they're going to look dominant against the warm-up, you know, the training team. I mean, show me some videos of the actual game, because, I mean, I'm looking at the Uruguay score. 1-4, I mean, yeah, that's pretty dominating factor, but still nothing to be proud of, because, like, if you're Brazil back in the day, you were throwing up, like, 6 points to nothing, 7 points to nothing. You were just dominating. But, like, honestly, they had a lot of close games in the qualification rounds for the World Cup alone. So, in their group stage for the World Cup, let's check them out. I think they're Group D. Looking up the group stage right now for Brazil. Brazil, where'd you go? I'm kind of embarrassed. USA in it by Iran and Morocco. Morocco in Group B looks like that looks like a pretty good group right there for Portugal. Got Spain, Iran, Morocco. That'll be an exciting one. I gotta say Portugal will probably come out either way. Australia in Group C. Like I said, it's going to be nothing but European teams in the round of 16. So Group E is Brazil. So their group stage is looking like them, of course, Costa Rica, Switz, and Serbia. So basically, they could come out on top in this group if they play their cards right. But then again, I could see Switzerland playing kryptonite in that group stage if everyone comes out of the Champions League healthy and uninjured. So if you want to discuss any matters with the World Cup or anything within the sports world, just give me a call in here. It's 215-383-5764, and we can discuss upcoming World Cup, 49ers, Seattle, whatever you want to talk about, we're down. Let's do it. So like I said, Brazil, yeah, they could possibly come out of Group E, but I'm going to go on a whim and say that Switzerland gives them a run for their money, because I honestly don't believe that a lot of people are giving the European teams the respect going into the World Cup that they need. Because, I mean, France, they could do something, but again, I don't think anyone's going to be able to stop Germany, because let's check them out in Group F. Germany, South Korea, and they got Mexico in their group. So Mexico could be the only challenge. But then again, the World Cup's played in Russia, not in Mexico. So could be a home game for Germany with figuring how close, I mean, Europe within Russia is. So all they got to do is just get supporters. Boom, game on. So honestly, I think Germany's going to sweep the Group F stage. And then Brazil is probably going to most likely struggle against the Swiss, because I honestly see the Swiss having a draw against Serbia. And then I see the Swiss beating Costa Rica and Brazil. That said, if Brazil can win all the way through, then they're through. But if not, I see Switzerland going through the group stage and then basically going around 16. But then again, it's too early to predict. I get it. You're probably saying, dude, why are you predicting all these early elements? I like to give a little, you know, discussion, get a little debate, get a little swirl going on. I mean, why not? So Group G is Belgium, England, Panama, and Tunisia. That is an exciting group right there in my books because England's playing red hot. Belgium's average. Panama's playing amazing. And Tunisia, they're a good team to watch out for. So that group right there alone is going to be whoever comes out of that group is most likely going to look at going deep in the, you know, the group of 16. But I don't really see a group of death in here. Like, you know, last World Cup when the U.S. was in it, Argentina's in Group D. They got Croatia, Iceland, and Nigeria. I got Argentina in that one. Like I said, Group C, I see Australia win. Group C, I see Portugal run Group B. And my upset for Group A, here we go. In the Group A, you got Egypt, Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay. So I'm going to go on a wham, and I'm going to pick an upset team, and I'm going to say Saudi Arabia gets through Group A. And then that Russia and Egypt miss out, and so does Uruguay. But then again, Russia's playing host, so let's see if there's going to be any type of speculation of someone saying that Russia's getting favorites, because I've seen it before in the past where the host nation team basically has an easy game, nothing gets called, and the visiting team gets everything called. Happens every time there's a World Cup, no matter who you are, where you're at. But like I said, I see Saudi Arabia at least winning that group. So if you want to discuss it, hit me up, hit the chat, got it up. And at the same time, the phone number is 215-383-5764. We'll play a song, go on break, and we'll come back and start on a wrap-up and discussion of other sports topics. So if you're sitting here and listening to my podcast saying, why are these breaks like really short? I mean, I'm trying to cut them short for you guys so that you guys can get more discussions on this and more input. Because I was looking, honestly, I don't know when the World Cup starts, but it starts in June of this year. So we only got a couple months if you think about it, because they're playing the Champions League. And after that, we go right into where everyone reports to their national teams. So like I said, so June 14th. 11 a.m. Russia against Saudi Arabia. That could go. I'm going to say that game right there is going to be a draw. Morocco versus Iran. I got Iran in that one. This one's going to be a good one right here. This is at 6 a.m. Jesus. France versus Australia. That game. Oh my God. I can't even pick a winner in that game. It could be a draw. I mean, most likely will be a draw. Both teams are really, really good. I mean, Australia's average, but France is really, really good. So got to say, if I had to say a winner, I'd say France, 6-0. Argentina versus Iceland. I got Argentina in that one. Who can't? Messi. I mean, come on now. Spain and Portugal. Oh, my gosh. Who do you go with in that one? That is just ridiculous. You got Ronaldo, Portugal. I mean, come on. Who do we pick? So I want to hear your input in the comments or whatever later on. So I'll leave that one up in the air. Egypt and Uruguay. I'm going to say Uruguay, just due to the fact they kept it close with Brazil in the qual round. So got Uruguay, but like I said, anything could happen within those opening rounds of the group stages. Let's check out more what we got going on. Belgium versus Panama, yeah. Tunisia versus England. I'm going to say England due to the fact big country, high-profile star players. I mean, come on now. Who can't like England soccer player? Germany versus Mexico. Wow, they're going to start that off with a wham. That's going to be like the game of the month right there. 17th of June, 11 o'clock a.m. I'm going to have to go with Germany 3-1. 3-1, you heard it first. So if you want to discuss anything, the phone number is 215-383-5764. Peeps, give me a call. The chat line is open as well. Got a little chat box. Get online, hit me up. All that good shindigs. I mean, there's really nothing going on in the NFL. Not a lot of headlines. Just due to the fact everyone's home. It's off season. Free agency hasn't really started, and everyone's preparing for the draft. So combine's coming. Can't wait. I'm going to be watching that left and right. World Cup, I'm excited for it. Like I said, anything could happen this year. I don't think Brazil is going to take it to the bag like everyone says they will. Because of the fact is, in my opinion, they struggled in their qual rounds. They just got lucky with skating through a couple games and getting the points they needed and calling a day. I mean, that's the name of the game. Get the points and go. Unless you're the U.S., then you just miss out. So we won't talk about that. It's hard to stomach, I assume. For me, I mean, as an American soccer fan, that was just a travesty. But my favorite to win the World Cup, dub it as you hear it, I got Germany. Repeat. It's going to come down between Germany and most likely not Brazil. So correct me if I'm wrong. I got who could honestly take it to them would be a real scenario, in my opinion, would be Germany and Belgium. Could you imagine that right there? Germany and Belgium in the World Cup in the finals. But like I said, it's too early to predict that. So I'm just going to guess that Germany just goes through their group stage somewhat of a breeze. But Brazil, I mean, they're going to have a fight due to the fact, I mean, they already have to play Costa Rica, which Costa Rica is a decent team. They have a decent goalkeeper. But the biggest one, they already test in Germany, it looks like. Germany versus Mexico. I mean, Mexico has some quick strikers and some huge profile goalkeeping. So, like I said, the World Cup, looking at the first game, first game of the group stage is just ridiculous. I mean, you can go into the FIFA World Cup online and just look at the roster. It's just wow. And then it's just more amazing not seeing the U.S. in it. I mean, right now, the World Cup seems like it's wide open for anybody unless you're Germany looking to defend that title, which I highly believe that they are going to take it and basically repeat it. So, with that said, I just want to tell you guys, I appreciate you guys tuning in, listening in. I enjoy you guys' feedback more than anything, and I just want to wrap up my show on this one fine keynote is with the events that happened in Florida. I believe that we just need more love. If we respect our fellow man, our fellow woman, our fellow human being, this world could be a 10 times better place, and that's why I love sports. Because no matter what the political outcome is, even though sadly I always say leave politics at the door, they always bring politics into the sports. I don't care who you are. It's always going to be there. But if we just respect one another and just move on and fall in love with whatever it is, for me, it's sports, the world can be a huge 10 times different place. I mean, sad with how everything happened in Florida. But then again, don't bring it up into politics. Let's just respect the families, those who are lost, the victims. And let's just pray for our nation more than anything. We're more divided than what we need to be. And let's just pray for each other. So before I wrap up and go on break, I'm about to head on break. So just give me a call at 215-383-5764. We can discuss anything within this topic. And when I come back, I'll do a wrap up of what is happening tomorrow and as well as my take of the NFL for next season.
Play, baby.
All right. It's that time of the show where we do a little wrap up if we don't have any callers. So on the NFL site, just reading into the articles about Le'Veon Bell and how he might walk. But realistically, let's be real. Le'Veon Bell is going to stay a Pittsburgh Steeler. He's going to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler. Why? Dude breaks records. And Pittsburgh does not want to lose their running game, because if Le'Veon Bell leaves, that's their running game. He leaves, that's the end of the Pittsburgh Steelers' whole entire franchise season. I mean, let's be real. First thing that comes to your head when you think of Pittsburgh is Ben Roethlisberger, and number two is Le'Veon Bell. So reading through these articles, I'm just laughing when people are saying, he might leave, he's going to leave, he's going to do all these things, but let's be real, he's going to stay a Pittsburgh Steelers' whole entire life. So just ignore the headlines when you see him until he actually comes out and says, I'm signing with so-and-so, because I don't really see the ownership of the Pittsburgh Steelers letting go of their number one, their number one running back of all time. I mean, come on, the dude's a record breaker. So, like I said, the Seattle Seahawks next season, what they need, they're bringing their old coaching staff back with the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator that they won the Super Bowl with. So will it make their season next year? We're yet to find out. Season hasn't even started. Drafts haven't even started. Free agency signings haven't even started. I mean, way too early to predict anything in the NFL as of right now. So, like I said, if Seattle can wake up, we'll be all right next season. But honestly, something inside me tells me that next season is probably going to be another travesty with how this season was. No offensive line, defense couldn't wake up when need be. I mean, granted, yeah, they beat Philadelphia, but still, if you cannot get into the playoffs and go deep, your season is a bust, in my opinion. So, next season, honestly, for Pete Carroll, is a make or break, because if he can't put together another winning season like the one he did when he won the Super Bowl, I really don't see the franchise sticking with him. I see him retiring, calling it a day, and that's it. I give him three more seasons, and we might see another coach. Who knows? And we won't talk about that because, like I said, the season hasn't even started yet. But 49ers, like I said, if you're a 49ers fan, you got a lot to root for this year, next season. Excuse me, not this year, but next season. I mean, your quarterback's 5-0. You guys are going to get a bunch of players next season. You're going to get some star-studded players. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Crabtree going to the 49ers. I mean, I really wouldn't. Just due to the fact that, yeah, the dude talks through his fists and lets his emotion get the best of him. But at the same time, I honestly wouldn't mind seeing the dude catch some balls in the NFC West. I mean, the NFC West, people always dog him, but it's the division right there that's really hard to come out of to go into the playoffs, because – if you haven't noticed, it's like the SEC and the NFL almost. It's nothing but a ground and pound game half of the time. And the defenses are just nothing but trying to tear your quarterback's head off every snap of the play. So, like I said, right now, for my favorite, I hate to say it, to be the big winner this offseason is going to be the 49ers, because they're going to get some draft picks this year. They're going to take some dudes and going to trade away some during the draft to get the dudes they want. And honestly, what they need this year is a running back that they can rely on. And the best way to do that, pick up some from college, develop them, design them the way you want. And then after that, it's going to be hell on high water for the 49ers. Because my favorite for the number one in the NFC West will be San Francisco as of right now with how they ended last season. So you want to call 215-383-5764. Give me a shout. Let's discuss the world of sports. We can discuss anything you guys want. And again, I got my chat box open. I'll have it open every episode for you guys, just so that we can chat in and out during breaks and discuss anything, mess around. Who knows? When I say that, I don't mean the adult version. I'm talking about the podcast version. So kind of running limited to what we can discuss in NFL, because like I said, it's the offseason. Now a lot's coming out. Everyone's keeping hush-hush as they're preparing for the combine. And honestly, I'm more excited to see the college players coming up this year and seeing what they have to offer, because not a lot of star-studded, but youth is taking over the world of sports. I mean, for example, Xfinity, youth took over that race. Baseball is going to be the same way. Youth is going to take over it. Hockey is even going through a youth phase right now. All the youth, I mean, it's just, that's how sports go. The youth take over. I mean, our stars that we live with yesterday start getting older, start retiring. We start getting teary-eyed. And the next thing you know, the youth is taking over. So just like in San Francisco, the youth is taking over, the youth movement, I like to call it. But sadly for Seattle, they don't have a youth movement. They just have players are paying out still. And that could be the one thing that holds them back. So in my opinion, that could make it or break it for Seattle. I'm just I hate to be stuck on the Seattle talk, but as a Seattle's fan, last season was just a heartache. I was not proud of how their season ended. I mean, honestly, I was like, all right, we're going to go to the Super Bowl. I got a feeling because we got another season with this rookie offensive line we had last year, the little season. Let's go. And the next thing you know, it was just no offensive line production at all. Russell Wilson's always on his back, running around looking confused, lost in sauce. But 49ers are getting it right. They got that young coach they're building around, and all of a sudden they landed their star-studded quarterback. Who would have known, right? But thankfully, San Francisco's quarterback is not going to get ruined by the San Francisco Browns, Cleveland Browns. That was the biggest fear, in my opinion, was if he would have gone free agent, you know the Browns would have taken that dude quicker than a cat takes his, you know, milk. I'm just glad that the dude's not going to get ruined with a Browns career. I mean, gratefully, hate to say it because the Niners are the Seattle Seahawks rivals. I'm just glad to see that the dude's going to a franchise where it has a long studded history of playoff appearances and Super Bowls. So the dude, in my opinion, he's going to be a Super Bowl quarterback. It could be next year. Who knows? We're going to see how the draft and all that fun stuff ends up going for him. So I'm going to go to break. And when I do, we'll come back and wrap it up with the remainder talk of what to look out for tomorrow's show and as well my top predictions for the week of the NFL and as well as NASCAR. So, a little article I could find, I just found, was the A.J. McCarron grievance victory. It was just business. That's his quote. So, basically what it was is the Bengals had the kid, or the dude, basically on injury reserve ever since he took over for Andy Dalton. Back when Andy Dalton got injured, A.J. McCarron came on and was playing some, you know, games. So, basically, he came in for a suit, sued him, said, hey, I just want to go to a free agency, and also I want my money for my contract, which the NFL and the courts awarded him, and now he's off to the free markets. Now, what NFL Network is saying, the top two teams are looking in on A.J. McCarron is the Vikings, which I pray they take him, because the second team, you guessed it, is the Browns that are wanting him. They're looking at him. The reports have been saying. So hopefully A.J. McCarron can actually go to a franchise that will develop him more as a quarterback. Because if you go to the Browns, I hate to say it, I hate to bash on it. If you're a Browns fan, I'm sorry, but let's just be real. Everyone goes to the Browns to basically retire. I mean, the Browns get A.J. McCarron. I don't know what that's going to do for the franchise. Because, I mean, every year they draft someone number one, they take a top quarterback, and next thing you know, it's just the Browns can't win. So hopefully that's another story to pay attention to, because if A.J. McCarron goes to the Vikings, he could be developed properly, I believe, with the coach that they have and the staff members that they have around there. They could actually develop him into a top-tier quarterback. He could actually become a playoff-contending quarterback. But if he goes to the Browns, I don't know if the Browns is where he needs to go, because A.J. McCarron has some talent, but I don't really know who the Browns have that could offer A.J. McCarron an amazing, let's be honest, an amazing career ride in the NFL. So I'll be following that story too. I mean, I just saw the article just now and I was like, oh my Lord. So see, his arm strength though, like the article covered, his arm strength is not that good. Kid can't really lob the ball that deep, but what he does have is an IQ level of football to be able to play. I mean, let's be honest. Let's see. His completion percentage is 56.1%, 55.2 yards per average. That's not that good. And 1-for-1 touchdown interception. I mean, that was his game when he came in for Andy Dalton. I mean, lately, before the Pittsburgh Steelers won the game. So that's when he played against Pittsburgh. That was his stats before Pittsburgh came back and rallied and beat them, the Bengals. So, I mean, he could go to the Browns. I mean, if the Vikings decided that there's nothing to do, they want to develop and just risk it with a draft pick of a quarterback from college. So, like I said, I can't really predict that one. So, A.J. McCarron, best of luck to you, fam. I don't know what to say. If the Browns get you, it was a good ride, I guess. So, if you put me wrong, let's do it. If not, it was nice knowing you in the big world of the NFL. So, with that said, before I wrap it up, if you want to call in, the phone number is 215-383-5764. Chat window's open. Let's chat. Let's talk. Let's do this. So, my wrap-up. Tomorrow's show, what I'm going to bring to you guys, 8:30 a.m. in the morning, we're going to have a Daytona 500 pre-show special where we'll discuss the fantasy sports of NASCAR, who to take in your lineup, who to avoid, and as well as discuss the Xfinity race that just occurred in that, which was very exciting. It was an amazing race. If you don't watch NASCAR, I would totally tell you to watch it, because these cars, boy, these setups are amazing. So yeah, that's what we got planned for tomorrow. Nice little Daytona 500 pre-race show. We'll discuss everything from dropping to the green flag to what to expect, and as well as how the new pit rule changes everything. I mean, the lack of having five rather than six members working on your car has changed a lot in the NASCAR season so far, which I saw in the truck series as well as the Xfinity series. So like I said, we're not discussing NASCAR because right now we're discussing NFL news and all that fun stuff that we got going on in the big world of the NFL. So discuss A.J. McCarron. Like I said, good luck to that dude. Nothing but the best. No really new development headlines coming out lately. Le'Veon Bell, I see him staying with the Steelers. So, with that said, I appreciate you guys tuning in, chatting with me left and right. Like I said, I hope your Saturday is going amazing because you guys deserve it. Enjoy your weekend and be sure to tune in tomorrow, which will be Sunday, 8:30 a.m., people. That's the NASCAR Daytona 500 pre-show. And again, appreciate you guys. Hope you guys enjoy the show because I enjoyed giving it to you, enjoyed my discussions with you. And again, have an amazing weekend. Talk to you later.